It's 8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, February 17th. I'm Patricia Naft. A bill to provide state grants for rural communities hit hard by the recession gets its first hearing at the Capitol this week. Benta Berkland has more.
The measure would create grants for up to 30 highly distressed counties, including those with high unemployment and low property values. It has support from both parties. Democratic Representative Casey Becker of Boulder is the bill's sponsor.
The economic recovery in Colorado is pretty uneven, and to incentivize economic development in those most impacted areas, we feel like there's an opportunity for the government to provide funding.
The bill would set aside $3 million for the program, and local communities would have to match the state funds. The money would go towards training workers, infrastructure projects, and business expansions that would create new jobs. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The issues surrounding the dismissal of the Paonia town clerk keep developing. John McKendry, on behalf of former clerk Barbara Peterson, has issued the town a letter of intent to sue.
The essence of her situation is, and her claims are, that the town did not comply with state law in connection with the decisions to terminate her. They plainly breached promises that the town had made to her before December 24th, and I believe have discriminated against her as well.
In Colorado, the government has to be given a 90-day warning about impending lawsuits to give them time to negotiate some sort of deal. McKendry says the town hasn't done much negotiating so far and is proceeding with the March 3rd hearing date. There, representatives for the town will present charges for dismissal against Peterson. Deep into the oil and gas boom, some new data has come out suggesting that more of the potential greenhouse gas methane may be leaking out than we once thought. Jake Ryan has more.
Two large studies by Colorado State University were recently published that looked at the methane emissions from gas wells and facilities across the country. Measurements were taken from New York, West Virginia, Arkansas, Louisiana, and even the western slope of Colorado. One study looked at gathering and processing facilities, the other at transmission and storage. This is Dan Zimmerly, a senior researcher at the CSU Energy Institute.
Gathering facilities themselves are generally not regulated with regards to methane emissions, and the current EPA greenhouse gas inventory does an inadequate job of actually even tabulating those emissions. And so this is really the first study to focus on gathering facilities, and we believe it's going to be very important as we move forward.
What they found was that at gathering and storage facilities and transmission lines, a lot of methane is leaking out, just seeping into the air. They used some brand new techniques to measure and found the readings in some places were 3 times higher than the EPA would have measured with their current method. Alan Robertson is with the Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. He worked on the actual collections of the data for both studies. He says what makes things difficult as far as finding solutions for the problem is that the amount of methane escaping varies wildly from one place to the next.
We looked at 45 compressor stations in the transmission system, and two of those stations produced 40% of the total methane emissions. And so essentially it creates these very skewed distributions with just a few facilities appearing to generate a large fraction of the emissions. And these few very high-emitting facilities are typically referred to as super emitters.
The study was the largest of its kind, but they're still working on the numbers to build a model so they can estimate the amount of methane escaping nationwide, not just the 100-plus sites they visited.
That was KBNF's Jake Ryan reporting. And finally, Colorado's 2015 legislative session has been marked by a host of interesting and controversial issues rather than one or two topics dominating debates. Benta Berkland checks in with State House reporters as part of our weekly Capitol Conversation.
Joining us, we have Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. Ed, talk about what you've been working on.
Well, it's been an interesting week as a couple of things that the business community has been waiting for surfaced this week. First of all, the long-awaited construction defects reform bill finally was introduced Tuesday in the Senate. This is a bill that at its core would make it harder for condo owners to sue developers over purported construction defects, requiring a greater percentage of them to have to approve going forward with a lawsuit, for example. But beneath its surface, what this bill is about is restarting a condo market that has gone absolutely silent. Only 4% of the new housing stock coming about these days is in condos, which essentially means one of the lower cost, more affordable forms of housing in a city that's becoming more and more known for having fairly outrageous housing prices is unavailable. So it was a bipartisan introduction. It was a huge group of supporters that introduced this bill. The question is, can they pass it? Because they don't have anyone on board who opposed it last year. Trial lawyers and homeowners groups still say this takes away our rights and this is not getting at the root cause of the condo shortage, but it will be an exciting fight.
Ivan, definitely a lot of bills we've seen this session face an uphill battle in one chamber or the other.
That's true. And one example of that is Republicans who control the Senate now are trying to pass legislation that they're dubbing the Parents' Bill of Rights, which essentially aims to give parents more control and oversight over what their children are taught in schools, kind of reaffirms current law allowing them to exempt their kids from taking vaccinations, which is a very contentious issue at the moment. But even though it passed the Senate, all of the Democrats really dislike this legislation. So when it goes to the House, when it's considered in the House where Democrats have a majority, it's expected to die. And you see that from both parties that are introducing legislation in one chamber where they know that they'll have the votes to pass, only for it to be, you know, doomed in the next chamber. And then there are other bills that it's harder to say what their prospects are. For instance, Democrats in the House are advancing a bill to criminalize or add penalties for cyberbullying. So when people are bullied in social media sites, it would be a harassment misdemeanor. But it's really unclear whether it'll pass the Senate. And this is a very emotional issue. When Democrats debated this, they had a high school student who was in a wheelchair because she tried to hang herself because she was being bullied repeatedly.
And there are instances in which we see two bills on the same topic running through because people don't know what can get out of one chamber. A good example, a Senate committee heard and passed a bill that would repeal a 2013 law that allowed people who are victims of discrimination and win lawsuits to win punitive and compensatory damages and attorney's fees against the smallest companies in Colorado, those with less than 15 employees. Now, most people believe this doesn't have a shot in the Democratic-controlled House, whereas it's going to get through the Republican-controlled Senate. So there is actually a second bill that's been introduced in the House, and it is still a Republican bill, but it only looks to repeal the punitive damages, not the other two that became part of that 2013 law, as kind of a compromise. And that's the kind of unique dynamics we're seeing this year.
Thanks. That was Ed Seelover with the Denver Business Journal and Ivan Moreno with the Associated Press. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for the Tuesday Morning Music Mix with Chase. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.